We've been in a series talking about life. That's a topic that involves us in a lot of issues, a big range of issues. We've talked about everyday life. We've talked about that circle that each one of us will do with the few brief years that are given to us to live underneath the sun. We've talked about that life that gets sustained by daily bread provided by the Lord. That circle that includes what we call all the times of our life. Family times, times that deal with health, and school, and jobs, and meals, and home, birthdays, and holidays, and fishing, and other hobbies, and stuff like that. Just the times of our life. In the series, we've talked about one of the main points, is just that life is found in Jesus. That He is the resurrection, He is the life. Apart from Him, there's no life. So we just talked about that simple, great, direct thing, that life is in Jesus. We also talked, though, about doing the story in which you encounter Jesus and learn of Him as the resurrection and the life. We talked about that story of Mary and Martha and the raising of Lazarus. And just noted the experience, all of the things that Mary and Martha had to walk through to see Jesus revealed as the resurrection and the life. We talked about what abundant life is. Abundance doesn't simply mean more. The abundant life doesn't mean simply that you get more stuff. Abundance means having all sufficiency in Jesus, whether you have a lot, a little, whether you're fast or slow, whether you're hot or cold, up high or down low, know that you have everything that you need in Jesus. All sufficiency at all times for everything. That's abundant. So we just talked about the abundant life, that you have found in Jesus enough. I'm good. I got what I need in Jesus. Don't worry about me. I got enough for everything. We talked about the greatest thing that's possible for any human person, for a person to know God. You can be a person who does a lot of interesting things, a lot of exciting things, a lot of adventuresome things. You can achieve a lot. You can accomplish a lot. You get a bunch of plaques and awards and statues in your home about things you've accomplished and done. But all of the things that you acquire, all the accomplishments that you do, all the achievements that you make, they don't give life. You can have all those things and do all those things and you still die. But know the living God. Have the living God as your God. And you don't die, but you live. It took a couple of weeks to consider some advice for living. 1 week we talked about don't wander. Many come out of Egypt, delivered by the Lord's strong arm, with the Lord's power, the Lord's atoning mercy. But then rather than enter into the inheritance that the Lord has for them, they wander in the wilderness. Spend their whole life wandering. The Lord still provides, and they're still the Lord's people, but they don't enter into it, and they don't possess what the Lord Himself intends for them to possess. So don't wander. We talked about rejoicing. When you're a person who's involved with God, there's joy. Life is as it should be. You're on the road to becoming a saint. So you can rejoice. To heed that admonition to rejoice always. Today I want to talk about what will happen. What will happen if you have life? What will happen if you live? If you do all that stuff that we talked about, you do that circle well, those years that you're given to live out on earth. You do the story which Jesus has revealed as resurrection and life. You find all that you need in Jesus Christ so that He's enough for you. You come to know God. You don't wander. You rejoice always. What happens? What happens if you do all that stuff? What do people who have found life in Jesus do? How might you finish this verse? We know that we have passed out of death into life because. If you had to finish that verse, how would you finish it? We know that we've passed out of death into life because what? What furnishes proof? What furnishes evidence that we've indeed passed out of death into life? We've passed out of death into life because we play harps. Just like the angels, you play harps, and then you know that you passed out of life into death. We know we've passed out of death into life because we have a lot of potlucks. Is that proof and the evidence that we've entered into life? Do we know that we've passed out of death into life because we eat right, exercise regularly? Is that proof that we've entered into life? Just proper diet and exercise? Now, do you finish the verse? Because we read Scripture in its original languages, the actual Hebrew and Greek. That proves that we've passed out of death, stepped into life. Do you prove it by singing a lot? Can it be seen that you passed out of death into life because you sing a lot? Because you tithe faithfully? Because you pray daily? Because you evangelize your neighbors? How would you finish the verse that shows, by this you can know that you've passed out of death into life because? This is how John, who wrote the verse, finishes it. It's found in 1 John. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. So what happens when we have life? The answer to that question is you become a person who loves. When you have life, you become a person who loves. You have love. You have this thing, this noun. You have this thing in you. It's called love. And you do stuff with that thing. You do verb stuff with it. You love. You have actions, words, and deeds. John says we know we have life because we love. Probably we don't capture that thought the best by saying something like, you haven't lived until you love. That's probably not John's point. You know, you really haven't lived much until you know love. Probably we can say, though, you will know that you have found life when you're a person who loves. You will know. Passed out of death into life when you are a person who loves. I mean, if I could rummage around inside of you, or if you could rummage around inside of me, and if you could, I could rummage around inside of you and go, you looked every place, I can't find any love. Are you sure you're alive? That would be a legitimate question. Because when you live, you're a person who loves. So if you could look around inside of me and, Roger, I've been high and low and inside and out, I can't find any love. Kind of like, are you sure you're living? Are you sure you're alive? Because people who are alive, people who live, they love. It's a constant temptation. This isn't news to you, but it's a constant temptation to all of us to think, I will know life when I get stuff. I have to get stuff in order to know life, to have life, to get a life. I'll know life when I get more money. I'll have a life when I get to do more adventures. I'll know life when I get married. Or if you're already married, I'll know life when I get divorced. I'll know life when I quit working or get the inheritance. I have to get some stuff. We tend to think that life will be known if I can only get things. But here's a secret. You know life when you love. And love is not much about getting. Love is mostly about giving. The words, I love you, are not about you to me, are they? The words, I love you, are about me to you. Love is mostly about giving. there was a show on TV, I think it was a martial arts show. And the apprentice was told, when you can snatch the quarter from my hand, you'll be done. You'll have arrived. You'll be finished with the apprenticeship. You'll be the master or whatever happens next. When you can snatch the quarter from my hand. So all this training, you know, maybe it took years, I don't know. But all this training, but the proof will be when you can take the quarter from my hand. In the game of life, when you love the brethren, got it. You got it. It's like snatching the quarter. You've finished the apprenticeship. It's what we were after. We're done. Ready to go. You're finished. What life is about. That you have life when you love the brethren. So I want to call our attention to just a sequence. I'll put up the next slide. So 1 John 4:9 is a lot like John 3:16. By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. Very much like John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him should not die but have everlasting life. So here, by this the love of God is manifested. He sends his Son into the world so that we might live. So it begins with God loving. That's the start of the sequence. God loves. If God doesn't love, no story of life would be forthcoming. So it starts with God loves. And because God loves, he gives something to us. He gives us his Son. And in his Son, he gives life to us, everlasting life. So he loves. Because he loves, he gives. He gives his Son. In his Son, we find life. We're born again to a new life. We're made alive in Christ Jesus. But then 1 John 3:14 that we just read, we know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. Having received life in him, he loves us. He gives his Son. We find life. Having received life in him, we can be like him. We can love. We can love because he first loved us. So that sequence, God loves, he gives, we live. We live so we can love. We can learn to be like him. We can learn to love one another even as he loved us. We can love because he first loved us. And you loving is not about getting for yourself. Not about you getting stuff or adventures or experience or praise. Or you loving is not about you getting stuff for yourself. You loving is about you giving of yourself. When you love Erica, it's not Erica for you, for your sake. It's rather it's you for Erica's sake, and you love her. You will give of your stuff for her sake. I want us to know this. If you've been given life, if you have found life in Christ Jesus, if that's true of you. If you've been born again and found life in Christ, so what I want you to know, you can love. You can love. When you love, you can know that you have life. You can know that you got a life. That you passed out of death into life because you're doing what God himself does. So if you've received Christ, if you've become a new creation in him, if you've received new life, then I believe that you can learn to love. You can learn to walk in love. If you have life in his name, you will love. You will be like him. So reflect again just on these very great but very familiar verses out of 1 John 4. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. The simplicity and the directness of these verses testify to their greatness. At a grammar level, grammatically, John uses the verb love here, what's called absolutely. He doesn't specify, he does not need to specify the object of the love. He can simply say, the one who loves knows God. The one who loves is born of God. He doesn't even specify what the object of the love is. That's called an absolute use. We often feel the need to say, it's not enough just to love. We want to point out that you must love the right things. You must love the right things rightly. It's not enough just to love. The person who loves money, that person's not born of God. You know, the person who loves pornography, that person doesn't know God. The person who loves power for himself or herself, you know, that person's not of God. So we want to say it's not enough to love. We need to know what it is that you're loving. You got to love right things and good things and beautiful things, etc. But John is bolder than us. Of course, what he says in a context. And the context is that especially of us loving one another. But he feels little need to limit or contain love within certain parameters. That's a very interesting thing. There is nothing else in the scripture that's like this, by the way. You can't say, the one who prophesies knows God. It might be very good to prophesy. You can encourage and build and instruct people by prophesying, but you can't use it absolutely. You can't say, the one who brings healing was born of God. For somebody to get healed is a very great thing. Very wonderful thing, but you can't use it absolutely. Because there's times when healing, when it's not of God, not born of God. But that John is willing to use the word, just the one who loves. He's very bold. He doesn't feel that need to limit or circumscribe it, put it within some fences. He's willing to say, you're demonstrating the life that you found in God when you love. Period. God is love. If you love, you're being like him. Of course, John thinks love is like what Paul describes in 1 Corinthians 13. John thinks love is patient, that love is kind, that love bears all things and believes all things and hopes all things and endures all things. John thinks that love does not keep a record of wrong suffered, does not, you know, delight in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. He thinks love doesn't seek its own. He doesn't think love is arrogant, you know, or proud, or vain, or act unbecomingly. He thinks love never fails. He thinks you got that, just use it. I just want you to know today that when you get life in Christ, to be a person who loves, that's possible for you. I hope that's exciting to you, an exciting prospect. I could be a person who actually loves. Loves with that kind of stuff that 1 Corinthians 13 talks about. I'll love with the kind of stuff that if I do that, it'll just show that I know God, that I'm born of him, that I'm like him. But you, because of the life given you in Christ, you could be a person who loves. The encouragement for today is let the life that you have received cause you to love. And just to get you to linger on it for a few minutes, in some ways I would have just stopped there. I just want you to know you have life in Christ, you can love. Go home and enjoy. But just to get just to linger on it for a little bit, just a couple of things. First, what does it mean? What would it mean for you to have brothers and sisters in Christ who to you are beloved. The way this verse starts, beloved. What would be involved for other people here in the room to be your beloved? What would that involve for you? What would that look like? If others are beloved, what is it that they would mean to you? What kind of place would they have in your heart if they're beloved? I'm not asking you what you would do yet. I'm just asking, if another is beloved, what does he mean to you? Who is she to you? If you can rightfully say that person is beloved, what feelings do you have? What concerns do you carry? What are your interests and your prayers and your hopes with respect to that person, if that person is a beloved? And what kind of treasure is that person? What's the value? What's the worth of that person to you? If Jeff is your beloved, what kind of place does he have in your heart? What kind of value, kind of treasure is he? If he is a beloved, Jeff has to beat out everything that's not beloved, right? So is your car beloved? No? Okay, Jeff beats out your car. But your house? No, that's not my beloved either. Okay, Jeff beats out the house. How about your plans for next week? Are those beloved? No? Okay, Jeff beats out. Jeff's beloved. He beats out a lot of stuff. So just who people are, if you could rightfully call that person, that group of people, beloved. And what's that entail for you? But we can all learn to use the word. We're gathered here today, beloved. I don't like any of you, but I call you beloved because that's what pastors do. So we're gathered here today, beloved. We can learn to use the word, but what if it's true? What if it's true for you with respect to brothers and sisters in the Lord? What does that look like? What does that mean? So that's just the first thing. And then the second thing is the what should you do for your beloved? What should you do with your time for your beloved? What should you do with your time for some who are beloved? What should you do with your talents and your abilities? What should you do with your spiritual gifts given to you by the Spirit of God? What should you do with your stuff for your beloved? All the stuff that you have, whatever that is. What should you do with that stuff with respect to your beloved? What should you do with your money? Or, go right to the top, what should you do with your life with respect to your beloved? What should you do with it? What's the answer to that question, by the way? What do you do with your life for your beloved?
Spend it on behalf.
Yeah, spend it on behalf. Use some scripture words. No greater love has any man than this, but that he lay down his life. So what should you do with your life? For someone who's a beloved, should lay down your life. For him, for her. You've come to know life in Christ. I want you to know that that life can teach you to love. So I just want to close with this. Apart from God, I don't think it's possible to have life. And without having life, it's not possible to love. So apart from God, it's not possible to truly love. Because love is of God. Love is from God. But if you come to know God, if you find life in Him, then it's possible for you to love. The encouragement is let that happen in you. Let love grow in you. Let love be produced in you by the life of God. I think regularly daily. We face these kinds of moments. You encounter somebody. You encounter Jordan. Christ's life in you says, when you encounter Jordan, Christ's life says to you, you know what? I could teach you to love Jordan. Christ's life in you says, you know what? I could make Jordan one who is beloved to you. The life of Christ is able to do that. In that moment, when Christ's life says that to you, the life that you found in him says, you know what? I could teach you to love Jordan. I could make Jordan a beloved to you. In that moment, you face a choice. Because part of you realizes that Christ within you could do exactly that. He's capable of doing that. And so your choice is you could let it happen. Because you know that the life in Christ is great enough in you to teach you to love her. To lay down your life for her. To use all your stuff and your talents and your gifts in a way that's appropriate and becoming in service to her. You realize Christ in you could teach you to do that. And you could let it happen. Or you could not choose life. Perhaps you sense that if you choose life, you'll have to give something of yourself. Right at the moment, I don't feel like giving anything of myself to Jordan. I'd rather get things for myself. So I'm not going to choose life and what life would teach me. In making Jordan a beloved, I'm going to choose to get things for myself. So you face that choice. I face that with Jan, with my kids. I face that choice with you. Christ in me says, you know, Roger, the life that you found in me, if you let it, that life in you could make you love them. And part of me knows that's true. Could. The life in Christ that I found in Christ could make me love Jan. I'm thoroughly convinced a life in Christ could make me love my kids. Could make me love you. And I stand there and so do I want that to happen? Well, if I love Jan, I probably care more about her will than mine. I'm not sure I want that to happen. She doesn't like boats as much as I do. Might end up without a boat if Jan calls the shots. If I love my kids, I might, what will I have to do with my stuff and my money if I actually love my kids? Oh, that's kind of scary. I don't know if I want to choose life. I don't know if I want to be taught to lay down my life for them. Life in Christ could teach me to love you. But do I really want that to happen? Or do I really want to lay down my life for you? Will I have any free weekends if I love you? Will I have to share all my stuff with you? You know, if you're a beloved, are you going to take my life away? I lay it down for you? So all of us, the life in Christ of you can teach you to love. And you will face moments. Sometimes they're just very minor things. The life in Christ could teach you to love. To give of yourself. I don't know, the game is on. How about we learn about love later on? Could. I want to encourage you, let it happen. But you know, life. Choose life. I said before you, life and death. You need to know from Israel experience, when they had life and death set before them, they chose death. As amazing as that is, they chose the thing that was a road to death. We think, how stupid of them. But the Lord can set in front of me, here's life. Here's life and love. Or you could choose death, Roger. And how often we choose death. Choose a path because I want to get stuff for myself. I want to acquire for myself. I'll be more important. I'll have you be too big on my radar screen, you know, or call forth too much from me. So just know, what the life of Christ can do in you, my encouragement, let it happen. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who doesn't love doesn't know him, because he is love. So what happens to the people who have life, who have found life? The answer to that question is they become people who are like God, people who love. Don't wait until we found some really cool, lovable people before you start doing it, okay? We're soon going to exchange the congregation for really lovable, neat people, and then we can all love each other. The life of Christ is able to make us love one another. The people we already got here, let it happen to you. Choose life. Let's pray together. Father, we think of what has come to us from you because you loved us. The sending of your Son. Father, all that he bore out of the life that he laid down that we might live. And Father, we do thank you for the life that we found in him. Father, for the hope that's there, for the abundance of it. Father, for the dailiness of it, the joy of it, for the knowledge that comes with it. Father, we thank you for life. Father, we pray that, Father, every day as we face opportunities and choices about that life working in us and causing us, teaching us to love. To love you, love one another. Father, may we choose that life. Father, not turn back to just a selfish or a prideful, Father, a self-seeking, and acquire for ourselves place. That place of your life teaching us to love, to be like you. Father, help us to recognize the opportunities, the choices, Father, when they come. Father, we would be taught of you to love one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.